This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening. Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown presented by the Sportscast. Today is September 28th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, TV, and Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, Play Sportscast. Visit us on thesportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1. And check out our app, The Sportscast, in the iO5 App Store. I am Alan West. That is Tyler Turner. Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown. How are you tonight, sir?
Good, man. How you doing?
It's been a good night. Got to celebrate my daughter's 12th birthday. So after having some fun with that, now it's time for some football, college football.
Sounds like a plan, man. I'm ready to rock and roll.
So we did our over and unders last week, and I was a little worried about that, honestly. But then when you posted what happened, I was like, all right, I got a little bit of a lead, but I know how you are, sir. So I'm a little worried coming into this week because I know that I may have started this, but I think you're going to finish it. But I want to see how it goes the whole year. At least for the start of it, so. You may have something wrong with your mic right now. I'm not hearing you on the mic, so. Let's see. Nope. While right now we're having a few technical difficulties, let's start with some of the games that happened last week. It was number 16 Baylor beat Iowa State 31-24. Rhode Island lost to Pittsburgh 45-24. Maryland lost in a close game to Michigan 34-27. Georgia beat Kent State 39-22. Penn State and Central Michigan. Penn State won 33-14. Wake Forest and Clemson, they had probably the game of the week where they won 51-45 over Wake Forest in overtime. Minnesota played Michigan State and they won 34-7. Tennessee had a close game against Florida and won 38-33. Let's see. Mississippi played Tulsa and won 35-27. Oregon, they beat Washington State in a pretty high-scoring affair, 44-41. Texas A&M, they beat Arkansas 23-21. Kentucky beat Northern Illinois 31-23. Ohio State played Wisconsin, won 52-21. Connecticut and NC State. NC State won 41-10. Vanderbilt played Alabama, and they won.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Welcome back. They won 55-3.
I had to log out because this stupid thing my mic was falling out.
Uh-huh.
I had to take it out, and then when I put it back in, I had no sound. So that's what happened. Anyways, go ahead. Let's go with over unders.
All right. So I'm gonna let you go ahead and I'm gonna let you lead off for how we did last week, and then Let's see what we got this week.
Yeah. So game number one, Clemson versus Wake For game number one, Florida versus Tennessee, the over-under was 61.5. Tennessee was a 10.5-point favorite. I thought if the game would go with the over, I thought Tennessee would cover, and I thought Tennessee would win. Tennessee did win. The game did cover, but that Tennessee did not cover the spread. Do you remember what exactly your results were on that one? I don't have it on me.
Let's see. I do. What I wrote for that game, I said Tennessee over and cover.
So Tennessee over and cover. So we both were right about Tennessee winning. Mm-hmm. We both were right about the over. We both were wrong about the spread.
Yes.
But the thing was, the reason why we were wrong is because Florida all of a sudden scored a touchdown last second and actually got the ball back and had a chance to win it.
Mm-hmm.
But so it went from Tennessee going to probably cover. I think, was it the over at that point? I think it was slightly the over still. I think it was 38-26.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee definitely was the better team in the game. But then Florida has Tennessee's number. They almost came back and almost had a chance to steal it, honestly. What did you think about the game?
I thought that Hooker had to have a very big game. And when it counted, he was able to show up. I was glad Richardson finally did get the offensive touchdown we talked about for passing. So he at least has got that on the board. But I really didn't think that. Yeah, I mean, I'd give him a cookie, but I don't have one with me right now. But the thing for him.
So proud.
I wanted to see Florida show up. But when Tennessee and Florida, every time that they make a pick, usually when Lee Corso makes a pick, they showed it on game day. Usually he picks the one he picks loses. But this year he picked Smokey and they won, so.
What a disaster. I've, like, been ripping my cord off, ripping my – next I'm going to rip, like, my neck off and die. At least it'll be entertaining video. Podcasts. Podcasts it might not work. Anyways, game number two before I end up, like, shitting my pants here, and then that's going to be a good film. That could be the highlight reel for San Diego. Game number two, Clemson versus Wake Forest. The over-under was 56, Clemson by 7. I personally thought it was going to be the under, and I thought Clemson would cover the spread. I also had Clemson obviously winning if they cover the spread. The game went with the over. Mm-hmm. Clemson did not cover the spread, but Clemson did win. What was your thoughts on that game?
That game, I had been occupied, but I was able to watch it near the end of the game. I watched from about midway from the fourth quarter to the end. And when we talked last week, one of the things I made sure to say was when Clemson Wake Forest was going to play, Sam Hartman was going to have to play the game of his life. And he did that. Because if he hadn't done as well as he did, Wake Forest wouldn't have even had a chance in that game. He was able to come up with the timely throws, get the passes in the end zone. I mean, I still thought Clemson was going to win, and I didn't think it was going to be as close, but to see how the game was and just how the crowd was fired up, watching it go to overtime, it was still neck and neck even in overtime. It wasn't like, okay, this is just going to be a blowout in overtime. We're just going to be one and done. The way that the teams fought, it made it – probably one of the best games you're going to see in the ACC this year.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what to think about Clemson right now. I really don't think they're as good as they used to be. They're just not as consistent. Like, earlier in the year, I didn't think they looked very good on offense, struggled in the passing game, but their defense looked really good. In this game, the defense wasn't good, especially in the secondary. I also didn't think they got enough pressure for as good as their defensive line is. I didn't think they got a ton of pressure on Sam Hartman. And I don't think Wake Forest is an incredible offensive line. And actually, Wake Forest really, you know, they could have won it at the end of regulation. They had the lead. Clemson had to go down and tie it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if Clemson is – I predicted them before the season to make the college football playoff. And as of today, I don't think I'm going to be right about that prediction. I just don't think they're as good a team as they used to be. I don't think they're as good at the quarterback position. I don't think they're as consistent overall on defense. I think losing coordinators like Tony Elliott and Venables matter. Mm-hmm. I just I have a feeling that Clemson's a team that maybe is more of like a 10-2, 11-2 team. Still a very good team. Still possibly a pretty good chance that they win the ACC. I just think they're gonna scuff up a little bit, and I think they're gonna lose a game or two here, like a game at Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game they could lose. A game at Syracuse. You know, they play North Carolina State this week. I don't like North Carolina State on offense. We'll talk about that game in a little bit. But I think they're going to lose a couple games. And Notre Dame, they play. Notre Dame might be better at that time. They're starting to look a little bit better. Beat North Carolina this past week. So I just don't think Clemson is quite what they used to be. I just don't. And you saw it a little bit last year, and now they lost their defensive coordinator and their offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, the Clemson making the playoffs every year, you know, won two national titles, went to four or five national title games. I think those days are kind of done with Clemson. So I should say that. I don't think they're done, but I think they've taken a step back.
They definitely stumbled some. It just part of the thing is when you would watch Clemson play, you would know they would have the strong quarterback with Lawrence, and you'd also have ETN always making plays, and you know that even before Lawrence and Watson or with Boyd being there, you knew that they were going to have something up their sleeves, that they were going to make it a big game no matter what. But it wasn't until Lawrence got there to where they finally got over the hump, which that was something that you knew was coming. The only problem is from Lawrence to Ugalele, you just went down, and they used to have a running back. Go ahead.
Oh, over the hump? You know, they won a national title with Deshaun Watson. They beat Alabama in 2000. They went to the
Natty. Right.
They went to the Natty, and then the next year they beat. So they got over the hump with Watson. And then Lawrence also won one. So.
That's right. My mistake. Yeah, but just – I forgot about that game just because after Watson had left there, you had seen Clemson making the playoffs or making a good run for it, but it was just seeing what would happen because I think ETN was there for both quarterbacks. So he was one who got to experience the leadership that both gave.
I think it was just with Lawrence. Sorry, I'm not trying to correct you on this, but no, he played 3 years. Him and Lawrence played 3 years when they were freshmen. Both of them freshmen, they won the national title. And then remember the next year, they lost in the national title final to LSU. And then they went a third straight year to the playoffs, and they lost to your Ohio State Buckeyes in the semifinals. And no, ATN and Lawrence, because they came in together, and they also were drafted in the same draft in the first round. Lawrence number one and ATN 25-2, Jacksonville Jaguars. So, no, they came in together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Clemson, the thing was when they had Watson to Lawrence, they had obviously two quarterbacks that ended up being first round draft picks. Watson was a two-time runner-up for the Heisman. Lawrence was a Heisman Trophy finalist. They had like a 5-year span where they had the two best quarterbacks in college football, or two of the best. And then at the same time, simultaneously, especially the first national title run, and even a second national title run. They had guys like Celine Farrell, Dexter Lawrence. They had four or five guys that were first, second round draft picks on the defensive line alone. So when they had these elite defensive linemen with elite quarterback play and a great coach that Sweeney is and get able to galvanize the guys and motivate them, and great coordinators. Tony Elliott was a great offensive coordinator, and Brent Venables is arguably the best defensive coordinator in college football. I mean, it was a recipe for six straight college football playoff appearances, six straight college football playoff appearances, four national title appearances, and two national titles. And it was an absolutely remarkable run. They didn't make it last year. And then this year, I just don't know if I see it. I've seen them play a couple times this year, and if either it's the offensive rhythm or it's the secondary, they're just not a complete team like they used to be. So Time will tell. I just think they lose a couple games this year.
That's fair. I mean, right now, when I'm looking at the ACC, I'm not really seeing a clear team that's going to win. I mean, I'm not sure if that's good or bad yet, but the thing is, if you don't have one that's going to be a clear number one for the ACC, you're probably not going to have a team that's going to make the playoff, which, I mean, usually you've been seeing the ACC be in the playoff regularly, so even if they're not, they'll definitely be in a New Year's bowl game, but if they're not in the playoff, that's definitely going to make things a lot more different than how it's been.
I agree. I think it could be difficult. I mean, you have to probably be – I mean, if you lose one game when that ACC can get in, undefeated to get in, I just don't know if I see it. I don't think North Carolina State is good enough to go that to have that good a season. Wake Forest already lost a game. I think they're going to lose a couple more. Florida State's good. I mean, they're much better, but I still think they're going to lose a couple games. And then your Pittsburgh's already lost a game. So yeah, I'd be kind of surprised. Clemson is the best chance for the ACC to make it. I just don't know if they do. So
on that, we can agree definitely.
Let's go. Do you want me to go to game three? Because we've spent a lot of time on this one.
Go ahead.
Oregon versus Washington. The over-under was 57. 6.5-point spread for Oregon. Oregon won. They won 44-41. So that was the over by a lot. And Washington State scores with 1 second left to cover, which is stupid. what was your thoughts on that game? First of all, did you watch it?
I watched some of it. I was a little bit busy watching Ohio State play more. So that because that was a 7 p.m. game, wasn't it? Or was that a 4 o'clock?
That's what I was like. Were you watching Florida and Kentucky?
Florida and Tennessee, yes. I was watching that game.
Okay, that's what you're watching.
Okay. I think I may have gone back and forth and seen it a few minutes, but I was more focused on Florida and Tennessee, honestly, was. But when I made my predictions, I said that Oregon would cover, and I said that Washington State would lose by 28. So, obviously, that did not go as well as I thought.
Do you want me to tell you about the game? I obviously watched it all.
Of course.
So you look at the score, it was a weird game. Okay. So you look at the score, you're like, oh, close victory by Oregon. Then you saw that Oregon scored 29 points in the fourth quarter. They scored 21 points in 3 minutes. Then you could conclude, well, wow, Washington State had the game won, and then Oregon steals it at the end. And then you go look at the box score, and you're like, Oregon with 650 yards of total offense, 9 yards per play. Washington State, 400 yards and, like, whatever. You're like, wow, that looks like Oregon dominated. So all of it's true. Oregon, statistically and on a play-by-play basis, if you're watching the game, dominated. But in the first half, they got within the 10-yard line 4 times. 3 field goals, and they threw an interception that got returned for a touchdown by Washington State. So 4 different times, they drove the field 60, 70 yards to either be held to a field goal or turn the ball over, and Washington State scored. That's how you get 350 yards of total offense in the first half and only score 9 points. All of a sudden, second half, it just never got back on track for Oregon. And you're staring at a 34-22 game with 4 minutes left. Oregon goes down the field, scores, kicks the ball off. Washington State goes immediately 3 and out, punts it to Oregon. Oregon, 3 plays later, score a touchdown. They kick it back off to Washington State. First play, Washington State throws a pick 6. In a matter of a couple minutes, all of a sudden, the 34-22 Washington State lead was a 44-34 Oregon lead. And then Oregon kicks it off. The guy throws a Hail Mary, and he scores. And then they do an onside kick, and it goes out of bounds, and then the game's over. It was a crazy game. Long story short, Oregon on a play-by-play basis was the better team. Washington State, though, played great red zone defense and had the lead for most of the game. But then Oregon was able to come back, and it seemed like they stole it. But honestly, if you look at it statistically, they should have been ahead. They were dominated in the first half and couldn't score touchdowns and turned it over in the red zone. So it was an interesting game. I don't know. Oregon has a very good offense. Washington State is an opportunistic team. Mm-hmm. Both teams, I wouldn't say, are great defensively. Oregon is a good offense. One thing I can say, after the Georgia game, the last three games, I'm an Oregon fan, Oregon has scored 70, 41, 44 points. They've had 600 yards of offense and then 500 yards and 600. They can run the ball good. They can pass the ball. They have a dynamic wide receiver. They have a couple of dynamic running backs. They have a talented tight end. They have one of the more experienced offensive lines in the Pac-12. So they can score. And if they end up coming back and having a really good season, it's because, honestly, you wouldn't have thought it in recent years after seeing Oregon, but Oregon is back to having more of the atypical Oregon Ducks offense. So when you thought of Oregon back in the days, it was the flashy uniforms and the fast-paced offense. Mm-hmm. The offense more resembled the Oregon of the past. And sadly, the defense, I wish the defense resembled more of what had become of recent years, where they're playing better defense. But unfortunately, that's not the case. So anyways, that's kind of the lowdown of a game that I guess mm-hmm. you didn't see a whole lot of. So
it happens. I mean, I'm working on catching up on most of the games that, and I do watch the highlights on SportsCenter at night to try to get the gist of it too. So I know for what you're talking about, I did see that. The next game was Arkansas and Texas A&M, was it not?
Yep, Arkansas, Texas A&M, over under 45 and a half. Sorry, yeah. Oh, I can't talk tonight. Over under 48 and a half, spread 1.5 for Texas A&M. The final score, 23-21. So it was the under, and the spread didn't get covered, and Texas A&M won. We were wrong on that one.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I think that Arkansas honestly should have won this game. Texas A&M, the way that they were playing, they got lucky. It seemed like Arkansas was one play away from breaking it open. It seemed like the whole game. But every time it would come to where that was going to happen, it just wouldn't happen. And so then Texas A&M would be able to survive. Like, even at the end of the game, they still – it wasn't like it was a blowout, but it just – you were waiting for Arkansas just to get over what was stopping them and just get that big play to happen, or any play to happen that was going to make them either tie or win the game.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas is about ready to go up for by a couple touchdowns in the first half. They're literally going into the end zone, and Jefferson, the quarterback, leaps up into the air and fumbles, and Texas A&M picks it up and runs it 99 yards for a touchdown. So instead of being a two-possession game, it actually Texas A&M was up by like a couple. And then Arkansas has a 38-yard game-winning field goal. I mean, that's not the most difficult field goal, and the guy chinks it off the crossbar. So, yeah, I agree. Arkansas blew that game. They should have won. They should have won. That's one that probably not going to sit with them too well.
I mean,
they have Alabama this week.
Watching that field goal just go doink, it's like, are you serious right now?
Yep, they have Alabama this week too. Next game.
Why don't we do that game last? Let's do that game last. Let's hit USC first.
Oh, because you want to do your team. Why do you do my team last?
We can do. How about we do your team last this coming week? Okay, we'll save your team for this coming week.
No, I don't even have. The over under on the Oregon game.
All right, we'll look into that. So that
I don't have the over under in your Ohio State. Those are terrible games this week.
Some of them are.
Who's Ohio State playing this week?
They are playing Rutgers, actually.
Yeah, I'm not covering Ohio State Rutgers, and I'm not covering Oregon versus Stanford, because Rutgers and Stanford suck. So obviously that's going to be a blowout. So what are you going to do? Oh, they're going to win by 90 instead of 80. Anyways, USC versus Oregon State. 71, USC by 6. It's well the under, way under, and Oregon State covered, but USC won. I had the over. I had Oregon State winning. So I didn't get anything. Did you see this game?
I did not. I mean, I watched a little bit of it because I was flipping back and forth from Ohio State over to this game so I could see some of it in between. So I was watching. I didn't watch as much. I mean, for me, I picked USC in the under for the – except I thought it was going to be a 42-17 win. So I messed up the score, but I got some of the other part because – USC, watching them play right now, it's like they know how to score, but watching them try to score, it's a whole different story because they're still trying to get, I guess, used to the offense at USC just because how Lincoln Riley had it at Oklahoma. Watching how he's trying to make the impact happen at USC is, I think it's harder than he thought it was going to be.
Well, so the first 3 weeks, I would say that the offense was clicking pretty good. You look at the games versus Rice, Stanford, mm-hmm. and Fresno State. I mean, the offense, I off the top of my head, it was like 56 against Rice. I think they scored 40-plus against Stanford, 40-plus versus Fresno State. This game, yeah, but I think it's because, honestly, Oregon State was better in the game. USC just had trouble getting the receivers open. Mm-hmm. A lot of pressure on Caleb Williams. They didn't run the ball extremely successfully. And on the other side, Oregon State ran the ball pretty well. They got the ball down the field. The problem is they turned the ball over 4 times. If you turn the ball over 4 times and your opponent turns the ball over 0, that's a problem. Honestly, what lost Oregon State the game was they turned the ball over. If they hadn't turned the ball over, they would have won. They would have been able to convert some field goals, probably would have been able to score on some of them. But unfortunately, they turned the ball over. And it's too bad because Oregon State as a whole, if you just look at the game, they outplayed them in the line of scrimmage. USC did not look – The offensive game plan was very jaggedy. They weren't able to move the ball very effectively. But at the end of the day, too many turnovers, and when it mattered most, Caleb Williams leads them down the field for a game-winning touchdown. So I'll give it to them to that. I don't know what it says. I honestly don't, because the first 3 weeks I saw USC play, and I'm like, man, their offense looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
I questioned their defense. Now this game, their defense once again gave up yards, but they forced turnovers. On the season, USC has 14 forced turnovers. Guess how many turnovers they have? 0. They have 0 turnovers. It's a plus 14 in the turnover category. And so, I don't know. They're a team similar to Clemson, but I shouldn't say similar to Clemson because Clemson's been good. USC hasn't. But USC is getting hype. They're the number 6 team in the country. But I think the turnover, that just is not sustainable. I think their defense gives up way too many yards on the ground. And the offense, if you do a good game plan, they can be beaten.
Mm-hmm.
The game I would look at is the Utah game in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think USC gets their ass whooped. I think they go into Salt Lake City. I don't think that's a great matchup. I think Utah rams the ball down their throat, and I think they call a good defensive game plan that really confuses USC. And I think that's a game where USC is like, USC is number 5. There could be it. They're going to go. And then they get, like, ran off the field, like, I don't know, like 45 to, like, 21. And people are like, USC, maybe they're not quite there. So That's what I see with USC. I think they're better. Coach Riley's done a good job of bringing in some good talent, but what happened the other game is not sustainable. It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable to keep on forcing turnovers to be able to save a victory. They did that against Stanford too. They gave up a ton of yards by Stanford, but Stanford kept on turning the ball over. So at some point that's going to end for USC.
I agree.
All right. So it's back to Ohio State versus Wisconsin. 57 was the over/under. Ohio State was a 19-point favorite. Your thoughts? You watched a lot more of this game, so you go ahead. Go educate me.
That was a blowout game. They didn't even have their best wide receiver. They had him out, and they had one of their starting safeties out as well. Like, they were missing about 8 players, and they still were able to just go through and score. They scored on the first. I believe they scored touchdowns on the first 5 possessions. So by halftime, it was already 35-14, maybe. I mean, it was a complete and utter blowout. Wisconsin came in here wanting to show that they were going to be able to just impose their will on Ohio State, and basically their defense didn't show up. Sure, we still had a few issues on our side, but when it came down to it, every time we needed a stop, we were able to get it, and we were able to make sure that when Wisconsin even tried to mount a threat, it was not going to happen. We had 2 different runners with over 100 yards. We had at least 2 receivers with at least 80 yards, plus Cade Stover. This was the second game, I believe, he started as tight end. He had 2 touchdowns. He would have had a 3rd, but he had gotten hurt, and he dropped the ball. I mean, it was overall just a thorough lesson in, hey, we're going to take your best shot, and you may get us for a half if you're lucky, but come the second half, it's our time, and we're going to take care of it, take care of business, and that's that.
I didn't see the game, so thank you for the rundown. I saw the score, and obviously it wasn't close. I have Wisconsin covering. Now, what I've seen in Wisconsin, I don't think Wisconsin looks very good. And honestly, they have not looked great the last couple of years. I think their program is actually taking a step back. What do you think of Wisconsin? I know Ohio State's good, but
Paul Chryst has definitely been trying to change the program around. The thing that they're the thing they've been able to count on at Wisconsin is having a good running back. Now, the guy they have there this year, he's done pretty well, but the problem is the quarterback there, the wide receivers. You don't really have anyone who's going to be able to complement them, and even how they would have a stout defense. The defense, compared to how it was about even 5 years ago, it doesn't feel like it's even close to it. So, I mean, Paul Chryst is trying, but the thing is, with other teams in the Big Ten, they just can't measure up. They're doing their best, but it just isn't making it to where it needs to be.
But they're doing – the thing is, I'm just comparing it to the way they used to be. They used to be better. I mean, they'd go to the Big Ten Championship every year. Now they haven't made it the last 2 years. I don't know. I don't think they're going to make it this year. So 3 straight years of Wisconsin, which dominated the Big Ten West for several years. Is Paul Chryst – you wonder maybe?
I mean, if he was replaced, that wouldn't be a bad thing. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean – it's kind of like how Kurt Ferentz is in Iowa, how they seem like they're going to contend every year, but they usually are good for maybe between 8 and 10 or 11 wins, even when he's had bad years. But still, at times I thought he would be on the hot seat more than anybody. I mean, Chryst, he could be fired, but I think that unless he goes under 500, I think his job is safe. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, you could be right. The only thing is, I actually think Wisconsin, because I do the team talent for it. Wisconsin gets better people than Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So Iowa going 6-6 and 7-5 and 5-7 once in a while, when you actually look at the talent on the roster, it actually makes sense. Because their roster has – the baseline is about that. Whereas mm-hmm. Wisconsin has been consistently the best roster in the Big Ten West.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just surprised that for so many years that was enough to have them win the Big Ten West every year. And the last couple of years they haven't. And they just don't look as good anymore. And so I just – what's changed? I mean, the talent's the same. I mean, they have top 25 roster, but they just – they just aren't as good.
Other schools in the Big Ten are stepping up. But one other thing we got to make sure we get to before we do our picks for the next week, because we're going to have to do a fast break for it this time, just because I'm looking at the time. Kansas State, with their upset of Oklahoma, that's going to be one of the biggest wins of the year. That's probably going to be the signature win that Chris Kiman needed at Kansas State, because with Brent Venables, how he's already been changing the atmosphere in Oklahoma. Kansas State has had a few rough years the past few years. Kiman, since he came, I believe he was a coach at North Dakota State for a while when they were winning some of the championships. Right. So for him to get the win here against Oklahoma, that's been the signature win that he's needed for years. So I'm happy for him for that. So I remember we were talking. You said you have 7 games for the upcoming week for us.
Yep. So I'm going to fly through this really quickly. Okay. For game number 1, Washington versus UCLA. Washington by 3. Over under 65. I'm going to give a really quick rundown as quickly as I can. Give you 1 minute. Washington, 4-0, has looked really good. Really good offense, have a good passing game. UCLA, 4-0, have played absolutely nobody. I don't know if they have played an opponent yet that actually can see. The games at UCLA, Washington has not played a road game. It's also a late Friday night game. Something about a late Friday night game against a UCLA team that can do good things like run the ball. Run the ball at home is always tough to stop. I'm going to take UCLA to not only cover, to win outright, and I'm going to go with the over because I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I really think they both have pretty good offenses. I think they both have question marks on defense, especially Washington and UCLA stopping the pass. So I think both teams are going to light it up in the air. I'd probably go something like 41-37, 41-34, something like that. What do you got?
I can say it in under 15 words. Washington will win. I take the over and they cover.
Why?
Because I think that USC, even though they're home.
UCLA.
Well, I just don't trust UCLA because every time you see Chip Kelly try to have a big win, they can't even get people to show up to the games. If they can't have a good crowd at the games, how are they going to have a home crowd to make the opposing defense or the opposing team have an issue? I got Washington.
Okay. Kentucky versus Mississippi. Mississippi by 7. Over under 53.5. Where do you go there?
I'm going to take Kentucky. I'm going to say that you say 53.5. I'm going to take the under. I think it's going to be maybe let's say 35-21. Actually, no, that'll be the over, won't it? I think it's going to be 35-21. I'll take the over, and I'll take Kentucky to win it.
So Kentucky's going to win. You're going to get the over, and you have, obviously, at Mississippi, Mississippi can really run the ball well. Kentucky's offense is not good. I went back and looked at their games this season. They've had under 300 yards of offense a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss is good enough on defense. It's at home. They can run the ball. Once again, a team at home can run the ball. Kentucky run the ball? No, they can't. If you're going to win games on the road, you have to run the ball. 31-21. Ole Miss winning at home. So this is going to be fun this week. We're
yes,
not.
Sir.
So 31-21, so I do under. You're doing over, correct?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So the only thing we got likewise right now is we both go the over in the first game. Game number three, Michigan versus Iowa. Michigan by 11, over under 42.5. If this was a night game at Iowa, I don't know. Night games at Kinnick, I worry about. But it's not a night game, it's a day game. And that does make a difference. Iowa does not have a good offense. They do have a good defense. I don't think it's going to be a pretty game. I do think they're going to force some mistakes by Michigan at Iowa. And Michigan hasn't played good at Iowa, let's be honest. But I think Michigan finds a way to sneak out a 24-17 type victory. That means I have it being the under. I have Iowa covering, but I have Michigan winning outright.
Michigan over, and they're going to cover.
Michigan over. You keep track of this because they'll be changing on me like you tried to do last week.
Okay, I got it right here.
I got my eye on you. Okay, Wake Forest versus Florida State. Florida State by 7, over under 64.5. Go.
Wake over, and they'll cover because I think that with how they're after their huge win, their huge game at Clemson. I think they're going to use that to try to have motivation for the rest of the year. And also Florida State, they've been, even though they've gotten a few wins, I just don't think that they're going to be a contender for the ACC this year. I think Wake is. Sam Hartman, as long as he has a decent game, I can't see Florida State winning the game.
So you have, just to clarify, you have Wake winning the game, you have the over or the under?
Over.
You said no cover. Florida State's favored by 7.
No, because I think Wake's going to win it outright.
Okay, so Wake wins outright, then they cover and win outright. Okay. So I have Florida State winning, so we're not even close. The reason why, Wake Forest had to win in the last second against Liberty. They then went to double overtime against Clemson. That takes a lot out of you.
Okay.
Then they have to go on the road to Florida State, and I think Florida State's a pretty good team, especially at home. I think they're going to be able, once again, you're going to hear me say this a few times, run the ball! I don't think Wake runs the ball that well. They pass the ball. You got to run the ball to win road games. I have Florida State winning outright. I'm going to go 38-24, so I'm going to go with the under. And okay. I am going to have Florida State covering.
Okay. All right, next game.
This is going to be fun. Oklahoma State versus Baylor. Baylor, 2.5, over, under, 56.5. Now, I need to clarify just so you're getting this. It's at Baylor because right now you're picking a lot of road victories. I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. Teams don't win road. It usually catches high college kids. So you're picking a whole lot of road victories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Oklahoma State at Baylor. Baylor by 2.5, over under 56.5.
Oklahoma State wins over and they cover. They will cover over 2.5 over Baylor. Your turn.
Why? Maybe I get an explanation. Why is this going to happen on the road again?
Mike Gundy's offense.
That's been very inconsistent. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Against a good defense. Okay. Yep. You're allowed to do whatever you want. I'm going Baylor at home because they can run the ball. Oklahoma State can't run the ball. Oklahoma State inconsistent on offense over the last couple of years. Their quarterback is extremely inconsistent. So I'm going to go Baylor 31-24. I'm going to go with the under, and I have Baylor covering and winning outright. Alabama versus Arkansas. It's at Arkansas. It's at Arkansas. Alabama by 17 and a half. Wow. Over under 60 and a half. I'm sorry. Arkansas is a pretty good team. I don't think I have Alabama covering that. And Arkansas lost a close game. Arkansas does have trouble stopping the pass. So I do think Alabama is going to be able to do some good things in the air. I think they're going to score points. But I think Arkansas is going to be able to run the ball. Alabama can run the ball. And I can't pick Alabama to lose. But I think it's a good game. I think it's a 38-31 win. I'm going to go with the under, and I'm going to go with Arkansas covering, but Alabama winning outright.
I'm going to go Alabama over and cover. I'm going to say it's going to be a 55 to 38.
They don't cover that.
It's 17, you said, right?
17 and a half.
56 to 38.
Are you just trying to go the exact opposite of me?
No, I honestly.
I don't want you to have a. I mean, one of us is going to have a bad weekend, but I'm sorry.
That's true.
I will wager you. No, I'll do it. I'll wager you. I will wager you on the side. There's no way this many road teams win.
We'll see what happens. How about that? Let's see about the last game.
North Carolina at State at Clemson. Clemson hasn't lost at Death Valley since 2015.
What's the
okay? It's 6.5 Clemson. It's over under 40.5.
Clemson over and they cover.
Clemson over and they cover.
Yep.
Yeah, they don't lose at home. And I don't like North Carolina State on offense, but I do like North Carolina State on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think these teams are going to score a lot. I think it's going to be a 24-14. Clemson covers. They win outright, and it's under.
All righty. Well, there you have it. You've seen our picks. We're going to see what happens. The only other thing is I've got the bonehead story for the week. I don't know if you watched the Virginia Tech game, but ESPN, when they went to commercial one time, one kid who was a Virginia Tech student thought that he was going to be intelligent and flipped the bird with both of his hands, then realized he was on national TV, sat down, put his head in his hands. Close second will be when Brutus got run over when they were doing the game right after halftime at Ohio State. But we're going to see what happens for the picks. And for that side wager, you and me, we can talk off the air about that. We'll see what happens. But how would we be able to get to reach you on outside of here?
At TurnerCast at the SportsCast. Yeah, this is going to be a fun week. I just want to say this is a fun week. We're about as opposite in our picks. This is fun.
We will have fun indeed. Yeah.
I'm either going to be way behind because right now it's 11. You're 11 for 18. Mm-hmm. I was 6 for 18. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to go out the week before. I didn't go against you, but I was 12 for 15.
Nice.
So I'm either going to go back to doing the week before, or I'm going to be like.
Hey, we got the fingers crossed. Either way, you could see me on Instagram at allen.west.46, or I will sometime jump on Twitter at allenfwest. We'll figure that out. But thank you for your time, sir. Have a great rest of your week, and let's see what happens next week.
Ditto, sir. You too. Good luck. You'll need it.